You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
The headline of this was, Spencer Ware's injury adds to offensive uncertainty. And one of the comments just says, nope!
With Joshua Briscoe.
Okay, Jack R. Powers. Fine. Bleep me. I'm a dope. Durf.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back to the show. Today has been hectic. At the beginning of the show, I was banging my leg into the corner of the desk and like trying to leap over and put the microphone cover on. Just now I ran down to the other studio to podcast the first hour of the show, which is now online. It's on Twitter. It's also on the Roughing the Kicker feed. I want you to hear me before the game starts. Todd Lebo just gave me a gift card for a free cookie from Mr. Goodsense. It's no longer Mr. Goodsense, by the way. It's just Goodsense. Like, were they having trouble reaching, like, the female audience? Like, oh, no, that might just be a dude sandwich place. It might just be dude subs. That doesn't really make any sense. I don't think that would be a problem. Regardless, I literally just, like, ran. I put my headphones down before the bump music was done last segment. And then just ran back here again. So I'm getting my steps in today. I am a highly conditioned athlete. 10-yard sprint I did, it's no joke. All right, it's the end of the last hour. I told you. I think the Chiefs are probably going to go 10-6 this year. Even though I think they're the best team in this division. And you could tell me that that's tainted by my biases for this team, what this team actually is. And I don't know if I could really fight you on that too hard. I'm kind of a pessimistic fan because what have I had to be optimistic about? Or when has my optimism ever been rewarded, I guess I could ask. And I look at this division, and I see so much interesting stuff. The Broncos have probably the best defense and definitely the worst quarterback situation. What are you eating out of that foam cup, Beards?
Sweet tarts.
Why do you have sweet tarts in a foam cup?
Because.
Don't do that. Just explain it. It's a radio show.
Because you just took them out of the tube and stuck them on there. It's easier than just having to tear the paper off to get to one. Was that a sufficient explanation?
I guess. Where did you buy sweet tarts?
Quick Trip.
Did you go to Quick Trip just for sweet tarts?
No. I also got this big old Coke.
Okay, so, God, I can't believe you're not diabetic, or at least morbidly obese. I've never seen you not drinking a giant Coke. Except for that one time when I saw you doing Coke, which was really a different... The show had a different feel that day. All right, so... The AFC West, thanks, Peter, for the explanation. The AFC West is going to be very interesting because the best defensive team has the worst quarterback situation. The next best defensive team has the second worst quarterback situation. I might say that the team with the best quarterback situation simply hasn't been healthy in his entire career. Or if you want to say Derek Carr is the best quarterback in the division, he has the worst defensive situation in the league. It's crazy. The AFC West is such a different setup of strengths. And I think that actually gives the Chiefs and Broncos some advantages that go up against the Chargers and Raiders' biggest strengths. Which I think gives them the advantage by Alex Smith over the Raiders' defense is a win for the Chiefs. And Alex Smith over the Chargers' defense is probably a win for the Chiefs. But Derek Carr and Phil Rivers against the Chiefs and Broncos' defense is about a wash. All that being said, I think the Raiders' propensity to outscore people makes them... totally justifiable in being picked to win the division. And I have him second. I buy the Chargers hype only so far as to say they're going to be a good team this year. But they simply have had the kind of bad luck and the kind of, maybe even less than the luck, they've simply had a really hard time living up to expectations for the better part of my fandom as an NFL fan. So I have a little skepticism there. I think the Broncos are just going to be a wreck. The Broncos are going to lose a game like 13-6 at some point this year. Like, that's just going to happen because they have one of the worst quarterback situations in football. And they also still have some offensive weapons. The running game is decent. They have some decent, interesting running backs. They have really good receivers. And they've got Trevor Siemian throwing it to him. But I guess if you want to be optimistic in Denver, you say, well, maybe Trevor Siemian is a young Alex Smith and he develops into Alex Smith and that's enough to get this team in the conversation for the division. I think that would. I think if you put Alex Smith on the Broncos, they're probably in that, they're in that conversation at the very least. I've seen every team in the AFC West get picked to win the division except for the Broncos right now, which I think is kind of funny.
But they got Osweiler back.
Exactly. Right. Like, right now, the best quarterback on their roster is probably Brock Osweiler. Oh, God, can you imagine Patrick Mahomes on the Broncos this year? How crazy that would be. Can you imagine? Like, oh, it's this firecracker young quarterback. This dominant defense, are they going to ride or die with a young guy? Sorry. So I think the AFC West is fascinating. I think the whole AFC is slightly less so because you've got all these fights in the middle. But I think right now you have clearly the Patriots at one, and I would say relatively clearly the Steelers at two. Not because there's not an argument to be made for the Chiefs, because there is, but because I've got to see it before I pick it. And I don't always do that, because frankly, that's kind of that can be a lazy way to be an NFL analyst. You say, oh, I'll start predicting it once I see it. Well, come on, what are you watching for? So I might be couching that in a poor way. Because in reality, what I think I really mean is, I need to see the Chiefs show a capability of beating one of those top-level teams, ideally in the playoffs, before I'm willing to predict that it'll happen. I've had really bad tastes in my mouth the last two times the Chiefs and Steelers have lined up. How could I tell you that the third time will be different, or the fourth time would be different in that two-year span? I'm not gonna. And it's why tonight is so interesting. Sam Millinger, as I mentioned, he had a really great article. We could probably just make this me reading the internet. Beards wasn't listening. Shame on you. But, so we'll read. So I'll read you some of what Millinger said in a second because it's really great. But I think it puts the Chiefs in a super interesting place because you're going to get a chance to reevaluate a team before 30 of these teams even play a meaningful snap, which is crazy. Because we get a whole offseason to get to this point of being comfortable and prepared enough to analyze a team to death, to predict what's going to happen game by game. But with the Chiefs right now, we're going to have this whole offseason, and then in the first game of this NFL season, we're going to get a chance to reevaluate. So Sam Millinger wrote this story. That's one of the things that I took away from this story. I shouldn't tell you his intentions because I don't know them. This is why
Mellinger wrote this story. Headline is, the Chiefs start 2017 at the Patriots, which is a good thing. Seriously.
And now, Josh reads the internet.
This is a few paragraphs in. The Chiefs have an opportunity here. Win one game and they are the talk of the league. Win one game and they will have done what no AFC team has ever done, which is beat Tom Brady in a regular season game in which he plays all four quarters in the place where the phones don't work. Nobody thinks they'll do it, and that's a tiny part of the point. This isn't college football. Playoff seeding is done by results, not voting, so outside perception and power rankings don't matter much beyond media companies creating content. But football players can be petty creatures. Their wealth and reputations depend on maximum production and success, so any bit helps. And anyone who has spent even a little time around professional athletes has hilarious stories of slights fueling focus. My personal favorite will always be someone, I think it was Carmelo Anthony, but it's hard to say for sure, from Team USA Basketball screaming about, "Nobody thought we could do it," after winning the gold in London. The Chiefs are good enough that they won't often be able to pretend nobody believes in them, so this is a chance they won't let pass. Justin Houston cannot talk about his knee without putting it in terms of recovering quicker than expected. Alex Smith is still motivated, in part, by the belief that Jim Harbaugh's decision to go with Colin Kaepernick in 2012 cost the 49ers a Super Bowl. Marcus Peters seems genuinely offended by a quarterback even looking his way. From the top of the roster to the bottom, this is a group driven in part by proving people wrong. But the opportunity goes beyond all of that. I'm skipping another paragraph down. Because if you take the stance that the Chiefs are being led to slaughter, that they don't have a chance because the Patriots have had all offseason to plan a big win in front of Goodell, then you might at least concede the advantage of getting this out of the way and on a Thursday night. Because an extra 3 days to heal and prepare is like half an extra bye week that nobody else gets without the problems of having to plan a short week. Reed is famously, well, at least famous in Kansas City, it's famously successful off bye weeks. Any bumps gets a few extra days to heal. This is all good. Also, the Chiefs are simply not at a disadvantage in having to play the Patriots. Virtually every team you'd expect them to be competing for with the playoff positioning also has to play the Patriots. That includes the entire AFC West, plus the Texans and Steelers. If you want to pick nits, fine. Prime time on ring night is more difficult than others. And the Steelers might have a slight advantage because they get the Patriots at home, which will also be the Patriots' third straight road game, but come on, nobody's feeling sorry for you here. The Chiefs can win this game. In pure football terms, they have the personnel to create pressure up the middle against Brady and enough playmakers at every level to be dangerous. They have a freakish talent in Tyreek Hill, who changes the punt game and pairs with Travis Kelce in demanding extra attention in different parts of the field. The quarterback isn't going to be rattled and is one of the league's best in avoiding turnovers. They'll still need some luck, and you aren't any likelier to believe they'll win than I am, but they have a chance at what would be the win of the NFL season. Even if they miss, the consequences aren't bad, and the larger context remains positive. Good way to start the year. Sam Mellinger's story in the Star today. I think that's really interesting. I think there are a lot of things seeping in there that make that point. And I think there are a lot of ways that you can expand on it. Because I don't want to speak for Mellinger. But I can tell you now. For me, there is kind of a win-win thing going on here as far as the perception of the Chiefs and what they have to do. Is being there on ring night in front of Goodell, first game of the season, is that any worse than being there on Sunday night or Monday night football? As many teams will have to do? No, not really. Is it much worse than the Raiders getting the Patriots at home? I mean, no. I think that might be slightly overblown. Although, again, Brady has never lost at home to an AFC team whenever he's played every quarter, according to Mellinger's article there. But it does give you a little bit of that advantage for the Eagles in week two. You get a few extra days. And then the Chiefs will also get an extra long bye week after the Thursday game in Oakland whenever they come back to Kansas City. And I forgot who they were going to play. And the Broncos at home on Monday Night Football. There it is. So the way we look at this team, if they lose, is going to essentially be the status quo lives on. And I don't think the Chiefs, believe me, I do not think that the Chiefs want to hear that. I don't think they want to hear about how, that's the Chiefs. They win regular season games against everybody but the Patriots and the Steelers, and they win the playoffs, but they lose the Patriots and the Steelers, and they're all these, they are the straw man of a Super Bowl contender. I think they're tired of that. I think they're ready for that to go away. And they can make it go away tonight. So, if the Patriots win tonight, and the expected happens, you move on to week two, you get back to 1-1 with the Eagles at home, start preparing for Carson Wentz. Then you got a game in LA against the Chargers. You get Washington at home on Monday night, at the Texans on Sunday night. You just start going back and forth, trying to come out of that first half with a 500 record. You get the bye week for the Giants, and then the rest of that season, of the season, is going to be pretty easy, frankly. As easy as you can have an NFL season be. But if they win tonight, the perception of this team changes so drastically. Nationally, at least. That might not necessarily be accurate or fair or reasonable. I think it was Matt Verderame who said yesterday, no, my perception won't change if they win. Mine might. I'm willing to say that. Because I'm analyzing this team. This is like a radio conversation. But I feel like there are some people that will just say, like, I'm going to have a stance and I'm never going to budge from it because I want to be informed enough to have that stance locked in. There are some guys that are willing to move with the wins, maybe too willing, I don't know. But for me, I'm gonna give you my line of thinking here. I'm telling you what I think the Chiefs are. And I'm gonna stick with what I think the Chiefs are until they show me something that indicates otherwise. If they show me tonight something I didn't expect to see, I'm gonna be very willing to let that inform what I expect of them long term. Now, I do think there's a cap on what can change tonight. I do think that if they're successful in getting the offensive production that exceeded my expectations, if the defense looks as good as I think it can, so that's great. The Chiefs have a chance to win the AFC in the regular season. Whenever this game happens again in the postseason, I'm going to have those expectations come back again. I'm going to be expecting certain things. I'm going to take the largest sample size and look at it. But man, it would be such a fun, exciting game tonight. Such a fun and exciting show and day tomorrow. If they could go on national television tonight and make a statement. Like a capital S statement.
Not like the statement they made last year against the Steelers?
Yeah, not that kind. That was a capital S something else.
It was like a four-font statement.
Four-font statement? Four-letter statement? Four-character statement?
No, as in like the size of the font.
It was size. Four. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
It was a tiny statement.
No. Last year against the Steelers was a big, bold, capital S type of statement. Just not like...
Not the good kind.
Not the good kind.
No.
It was a four-letter capital S statement. You see what I'm trying to do here, Beards? I'm trying to put a curse word into your mind. Don't use that as a liner. That's inappropriate. But that's where I'm at now. I told you what to watch for. I told you I think the defense is going to do some crazy bleep. Not crazy, but they're not going to spend a whole lot of time in base defense. If they're going to see some of that Ron Parker corner safety hybrid. I think we're going to see a lot of that Daniel Sorensen safety linebacker hybrid. I think we're going to hopefully see Terrence Mitchell, fingers crossed, see Terrence Mitchell come out and stabilize that right corner spot. I think that defensive line in that front seven, again, fingers crossed on like Justin Houston and D4, but I think that defensive line can get some penetration into Tom Brady's face. But I got all these questions about the offense. So that's what I'm essentially holding my breath for. I also wanted to believe more in the 10-6, or more than 11-5 than 10-6. Like, here's, I know this is great radio, but really quick, like, here's what I was thinking, essentially. How many losses are there? Like, just games you expect to lose. I think you expect to lose in New England. I think you expect to lose the Steelers at home. You expect to lose in Oakland. I think you've got to be an underdog at Dallas for sure. Maybe at the Giants after the bye, something you can talk yourself into. But I'm going to say that I would expect them to drop that game. And maybe they win one unexpected game. But then I think they also are going to lose one of those. They're not going to sweep the AFC West again. I don't think they're even going to sweep the Broncos and the Chargers. I think right now, if I had to put my money on it ahead of time, I think the Chiefs probably drop week 3 in L.A. That gets you to 6. And maybe you win that Giants game. Maybe you pull down one of those other games you were expecting to lose. But again, at this point, it's all so minute. It's also, these predictions, everything are so fragile. So many things can change. I don't even mean like, well, yeah, Derek Carr could break his leg again. I just mean a sack in New York against the Giants. You knock the ball out of Eli Manning's hand in the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden you go from having a 11-5 season to a 12-4 season. Or it goes the other way. You go from having an 11-5 season to a 10-6 season. And I tend to, again, just sort of lean towards that like more pessimistic side. And I also tend to think this is a team that is kind of built sort of fragilely. As I mentioned earlier, there are a couple of guys that if they just get hurt this season, really takes a nosedive. But that's where I'm at right now, and I'm very excited for tonight's game. All right, whenever we come back, we're going to talk to Brandon Kiley out in St. Louis. Don't hold that against him. We'll talk to him coming up here next. And we'll have a little time at the end of the show. If you want to tweet any opinions in or whatever, I am an open book today. It is at JB Briscoe. That's my Twitter, in case I never mentioned that. Also, the phone number here is 913-491-8255. If you want to sneak in a call after we wrap up with Brandon Kiley. But it's Brandon next here on Almost Entirely Sports.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You can tweet me at JB Briscoe if you're finding any of this even slightly interesting. Or, and if you're not, you know, fine. Still follow me, though, like those Twitter followers count. Just retweet me constantly. Get me to a new audience, and then tell them to follow me, and then retweet me. And eventually, I'd spread out, and I cover this entire universe.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. Couple of things from the break. Not only did I finally get my bathroom break I needed so badly after ordering this Route 44 limeade from Sonic, hashtag not a sponsor, but hashtag would totally take it if they wanted to be. Ivan tweeted me on Twitter and said, there's not enough weapons on this roster. Glorified Marty Ball. I agree there are not enough weapons on this roster. I agreed with that whenever they cut freaking Jeremy Maclin. So, you know, we all have things in this life we can't fully explain. What's the purpose of life? Is there a God? And why did the Chiefs cut Jeremy Maclin? And also CBS Sports Network put out a tweet with a quote from Adam Schein that said, if you had to go to the quarterback laboratory and build a quarterback, you would build Patrick Mahomes. He said it, not me, although obviously I would also say it. To this point, I'm in the tank. All right, now our last guest of this smorgasbord of Chiefs insight that we have gobbled up this week is Brandon Kiley. He's at BK Sports Talk on Twitter. He's one of my favorite Twitter follows. And I haven't said that about everybody. All these guys are good Twitter followers, but Brandon's one of my absolute favorites. He's the executive producer of the Kevin Wheeler Show on 101 ESPN in St. Louis. And he's currently wearing a Patrick Mahomes jersey. Is that true, Brandon?
Currently wearing my shirt that I wore to the gym, but I will be soon wearing my Charlie Hustle Sunday Funday shirt. So,
okay.
I mean, close enough.
That, yes. Have you gotten out, like, maybe like an X-Acto knife and some white duct tape and just put Mahomes on the back of that Charlie Hustle shirt?
So, I have my Jeremy Maclin jersey, and I'm not really sure what to do with it. And it's in play that soon the 10 becomes a 15.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Or 19.
Yeah.
Let's pretend that that didn't happen.
Sure. We'll edit that out of this live broadcast. Beards is extraordinarily talented. He's gonna mark me saying that he's extraordinarily talented, and then will not provide the context later on. That's fine. Whatever you got to do to get through your day, Beards. You can turn the Maclin into a Mahomes, or you could just, what I would do, I think, is as soon as this offense is officially like DOA, then you just start rocking that Maclin jersey in a painful reminder kind of way.
Oh yeah, that's in play. Just an ironic sort of way, right?
Right.
Like, hey,
yeah.
You know, we had Jeremy Maclin and then we cut him and now he's, you know, out there playing for the Ravens.
It's what Beards does with his Wade Davis jersey. Is every time that the Royals blow a game late in the game, next day you can set your watch to it. He's wearing his Wade Davis jersey. That's what you could do here.
You could do that with Jorge Soler home runs in AAA too, right? Like, you could do it either way. Which,
yeah.
Basically,
oh, sure.
Every day this year, you've pretty much been able to wear your Wade Davis shirt.
Right. okay. So with that being laid out there, and with your Jeremy Maclin jersey wearing being synchronized with the Chiefs' offensive struggles this year, will you be wearing your Jeremy Maclin jersey, ironically, on Friday?
No. So I have a question for you, Josh, because
okay.
I know you're interested in these kind of, like, overlying questions about the season.
Sure.
What do the Kansas City Chiefs do extraordinarily well? And on the other hand, what do they not do well at all? Like, what are they really bad at, and what are they really good at? And is there a legitimate, objective answer to either of those questions?
I think what you just convinced me in one question is the Chiefs are the Royals, and I'm living in hell.
I don't think they're the Royals, because I think they're actually, like, pretty good at certain things. Like, I'm not 100% sure that the Royals are actually really good at anything. Like,
fair.
Like, even good at anything.
Right.
I think the Chiefs are pretty good defensively.
Agreed.
Like, pretty good. They might be middle of the pack, like 10th to 15th, but I think they're pretty good.
I'm
not sure that they're top 5 to 10 at anything, though, any one unit.
I would agree with. I think they have a top 5 or top 10 safety unit, but that's a hard thing to see the direct impact of if everything else isn't performing at a high level.
Right, because you got to look at that as pass defense, right?
Right.
And if you look at pass defense, you have to look at pass rush in your secondary. And right now, pass rush is absolutely a question until we see Justin Houston's ability to stay on the field and then be effective when
yep.
he's out there. And then second of all, you have no. We have no idea who the number 2 corner is. Like,
right.
We don't know whether anybody's healthy and whether, if they're healthy, they're going to be effective. So, I don't know. I find that to be an interesting way to look at the Chiefs season. Is I think they're going to be pretty good. I'm pretty sure they're going to be pretty good. I trust Andy Reid. I just don't know objectively that they're for sure actually going to be good.
And I said earlier today that if there's one thing that I could, one unit of this team that I could make sure today, if I could guarantee one unit of this team would perform as well as we've seen them perform, not that they would get injected by horse steroids or that they would become a cyborg tonight, but just they would play as well as we've seen them be, it would be Justin Houston and Dee Ford as those outside pass rushers. Because we've seen them both play really, really well. There is so much, there's so much libel on Twitter towards Dee Ford. Last year, before he had his hamstring injury and before he had to switch sides, and chicken or the egg there, we'll find out, I think, this year. But before that happened, he was going to be a Pro Bowler. Justin Houston has been the best pass rusher in this league at times. If we get those guys at their high points, then they could have the best pass rushing duo in football. That changes everything. I think the defensive line is very talented, but I have my hesitations to see any of those, to predict that either of those units are going to get substantial quarterback pressure, because I expected that for some of last year, and it never happened.
Right, and the other thing that goes into this is just 2017 football, right? Like,
yep.
We've seen this in the playoffs against Tom Brady. The dude gets the ball out of his hands within, like, 2 seconds.
Yep.
So even if Justin Houston is 100% healthy and he's awesome and he's wrecking havoc on opposing offenses like he has in the past, it might just be that he can't get there in time.
Right.
It might just be that Tom Brady's getting rid of the ball. He has those six-yard out. Oh, now it's Gronk right over the top. And then that's enough to score 31 points and they win the game 31-24. That's in play for tonight, mm-hmm. and it has nothing to do with Justin Houston. So it's just tough when you have any questions, and specifically when you have any glaring weaknesses, the way the Chiefs might with that number two or the slot corner. If you're going up against a future Hall of Fame quarterback, and Tom Brady is certainly that, mm-hmm. he's going to find that weakness and he's going to exploit it every single time that he can.
I'll try to sell you with the Cliff's Notes version of something I talked about earlier, which is that Daniel Sorensen is going to play a bunch of safety linebacker kind of hybrid stuff. Ron Parker is going to do the same with sort of safety corner hybrid work. That's how I'm expecting this to go. I think they'll have a lot of Kevin Pierre-Louis and Ukeme Ligwe out there being the more pass defense inside linebackers and a little less Ramique Wilson than you might expect. I think they're going to be more equipped to handle that short passing game than the sort of worst case scenario plays out, which will force Brady to hold onto the ball a little bit longer, I think, and hope. But I'm also telling you that I think my hope for this game is more Ukeme Ligwe and Kevin Pierre-Louis. And Kevin Pierre-Louis versus Tom Brady isn't really how I want to put my money down.
Right. Now, are we sure those guys are even, like, good? I mean,
they were Kevin great. Pierre-Louis they were great. Could... They were great against the Titans backups. Is that not enough?
I mean, it's something.
They
I guess,
owned Matt Castle.
It's a start. We don't know if those guys are actually legitimate NFL starters, much less good players to go up against Tom Brady in an effective way to go up against this New England passing attack. So I think this game is fascinating in so many ways, and I know Sam Ellinger wrote about this the other mm-hmm. day, saying that this is a good way for the Chiefs to start out the season. I agree with it because
yeah.
I don't know what to expect from this Chiefs team. Like, we all know that they should be 8-8 to 11-5, somewhere in that range. Mm-hmm. That's what we all expect this team to be, barring some sort of catastrophic injury to somebody that we can't see right now, right?
Right, right.
But we don't know where on that spectrum they are. Like, can they reach the utmost potential of that ceiling where, okay, now we're talking about a 2-seed who legitimately has a chance to go in Foxborough in January and win in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. Or are we talking about closer to 8-8 where maybe they're the third best team in the division, and we're talking about Patrick Mahomes by week 10. I don't know where on the spectrum they're going to fall, and I think after tonight, we're at least going to have a better idea of that, as opposed to if they played Jacksonville or even Denver, in my opinion, who's not going to be very good this year. Mm-hmm. If you had one of those teams, you could get a great performance, and you still really don't know where you fall on that spectrum. And I think we're going to know that by tonight.
I agree, because we spend the whole offseason analyzing a team and projecting things and predicting things, and it usually takes 4 to 6 weeks before you can really adjust that. But they get their real test here tonight, so how much do you think you would be swayed? And also, I guess, does it depend on how the Chiefs would win or would lose tonight?
No, if they win this game, my expectations change, period,
yeah.
end of story, point blank. Like,
yeah.
You don't go into Foxborough and win. You don't. It doesn't happen. You especially don't go in there when Bill Belichick has had extra time to prepare mm-hmm. against you all summer long. He knows exactly what you're going to have for him, and he's preparing for you. You don't win that game. The Kansas City Chiefs are not supposed to win this game.
Right.
If they do, I don't care if it's on 7 punt returns and kick returns for touchdowns. I don't care how it happens. If they win this game, my expectations change. This should be a playoff team, and it should be somebody that competes for an AFC championship game. That should happen if they win tonight. Is that going wildly off the spectrum? Maybe, but, I mean, what is it? Tom Brady's lost one game as a starting quarterback at home against AFC opponents?
Mellinger said in his article that he's never lost a home game against an AFC opponent while he's played all 4 quarters.
Yeah, so, I mean... Exactly. I don't know what more you need to know. You can't win this game. This is impossible.
Right.
It's an impossible feat for you to go in there and win. If you do it, if you're the team that accomplishes this, it changes the way we have to look at them. It absolutely does. Patrick Mahomes is no longer a conversation. We're talking about the Chiefs as an AFC championship contender, and we're not doing that right now, I don't think.
So when you do look at the box you get put in for predicting a record for the Chiefs right now, what jumps to your mind?
10-6, I think.
It's
like the most boring prediction ever for this team, because I think that's pretty much where everybody has them. But it just seems right. I think I put out my predictions earlier today. I think the Chargers are the best team in this division, because I think there's some clear places where you can say, oh, they're really great in that area.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Chargers are going to have a really great passing game this year. I think their defensive line is really great. I think their pass rush is going to be awesome. I think they have a solid secondary, if unspectacular. I think there's some glaring places on that team where you could say they're great at that. Mm-hmm. I don't know that you can necessarily say that yet about the Chiefs. So I think they're the best team, and I think the Chiefs are the second best team in this division. So I've got them right around 10-6. And by the way, Chiefs play the NFC East this year. Mm-hmm. That's just a tough putt. So yep. going much more than 11-5 with this schedule is just going to be really difficult to accomplish.
And then do you have the Raiders over the Broncos in those last two spots?
I do, yeah. I think the Broncos are going to be pretty bad. I think people are looking at that defense from 2 or 3 years ago and pretending as if that's still the defense. If you go up and down that depth chart, Josh, it's not particularly inspiring. I mean, you've got five guys on that defense who you could talk to legitimate NFL fans and say their name. They'd be like, oh, that's the accountant down the hall. I have no idea who that human being is. The Raiders, everybody's just forgetting that their defense was awful last year.
Yes.
And they were historically great in one score game. That doesn't repeat itself. It's never happened before. So we're either expecting the Raiders to do something that never in the history of football has been done, or the Broncos to overcome the fact that their offense is inept and their defense isn't as good as it once was. So I've got the Raiders third, around 8-8, 9-7, and the Broncos fourth. I think 6-10, 7-9 is totally in play for them.
And you say that your 10-6 thing is boring and like exactly where it lands, but this week I've talked to Seth Kizer, Matt Connor, Nick Jacobs, Matt Verderam, Matt Derrick, and you and I are the only people in that entire group to have them at 10-6, and that's the lowest mark. It's been all 11-5. Nick Jacobs gave him 12 wins. So I don't know if there's a pessimistic flu that you and I both have currently, or if we're just watching something a little different. And it's splitting hairs. It is. I mean, you know, if you strip sack Eli Manning towards the end of a game in New York, then all of a sudden, oh, it's 11-5. How dumb am I for not getting that right? So it's splitting hairs, but I do think that's interesting at least.
That's the thing is, I think, so I made this argument last year as the Chiefs were going into the playoffs and people got really mad at me, but I thought the 2015 team was actually better than last year's team. And yet last year's team, if you look at like records and how they performed in certain games, was better in terms of that record, right? So I don't think you have to be a better record to be the better team. I know that sounds kind of convoluted, but it's really simple. Like last year, the Lions were not the fifth or sixth best team in the NFC,
right.
But they did have the fifth or sixth best record in the NFC. So I don't think those two necessarily go hand in hand. I think the Chiefs are a good team, and I think 10 wins should be right around their talent level. They could go 11-5. They could go 9-7. That doesn't make them better or worse of a team. It just that's sometimes how the chips fall. And I do keep going back to their schedule. I think that's a really important factor here. Mm-hmm. You're going up against the Cowboys, the Giants, the Patriots, the Steelers. You have to play the Chargers twice. You have to play the Raiders twice. Those are just tough games. Finding a way to win 11 games, 12 games against that schedule is going to be difficult.
I agree. So looking back to tonight, then, if the Chiefs win tonight, what's going to be the reason that we're talking about on Friday?
That's a good question. I think if the Chiefs win tonight, they will have done it because Tyreek Hill had a big – it might sound like the most obvious things in the world, but Tyreek Hill had a big play offensively. Mm. The special teams did something, whether that's a blocked punt or a big kickoff return or a big punt return. Alex Smith was a little bit more explosive down the field with his passing than we expected, and Justin Houston looked like himself. I think those would be like the three or four things that you're looking for. Alex Smith, deep downfield, Tyreek Hill looks good offensively, big special teams play, and Justin Houston looks like himself. Those four.
That's a lot of stuff, and I think that's totally reasonable, but there's a lot there. So I'm curious, where do you think, and I know you have the Chiefs as a 10-6 team, but like how do you feel like they fit in the larger scheme of the NFL right now?
So I think the AFC is pretty clear cut, at least right now. We'll see where this plays out. And I think you have the right way to look at this thing. Like, things can change. And if information changes, our beliefs should change on these sorts of things. Mm-hmm. So right now, I think it's clear cut. Number one is the New England Patriots. Number two is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Huge drop off. And then I have like the Chargers and Titans in that next group. Mm-hmm. And then right below them, the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. I could understand if somebody has those tiers a little bit different, but everybody's fighting for that third spot, in my opinion.
Agreed.
If you look at the NFL, though, I think the NFC is pretty significantly stronger from like 1-7 than the AFC is this mm-hmm. year. I think the Seahawks are really good. I think the Packers are really good. I think the Falcons and the Bucks and the Panthers, the Vikings, I think, are a pretty solid team this year. I think there's like seven teams in the NFC that are all really good squads that are right around that same area with the Chiefs and the Chargers and the Titans and maybe a little bit above them.
I think that's a good call. I'm with you on that. And I think with the Titans is kind of like sort of the I guess, sort of popular sleeper pick, if I can. It's really interesting because I could see this. I could see them taking over the AFC South, and then they're the kind of the nationwide darling come playoff time, and everyone just wants to see the Titans beat the Patriots. I could see that happening. I could also see the Titans just winning, like, seven games. And be like, man, how did we all get so fooled? I can't. Yeah, because, like, all of a sudden, all right, so DeMarco Murray is no longer good, and that happens to old running backs. Maybe Marcus Mariota has a little bit of a setback.
Henry's good.
He's a guy that can
really
be good. I look at again. Like, I want to believe in Marcus Mariota because I like seeing young quarterbacks rise up. Maybe it's a step back year instead of a step forward year. I think they'll win the division. I think they'll win the AFC South, especially because we don't know how long the Colts are going to be without Andrew Luck. So I'm with you that far, and I don't believe in the Texans at all. But I think, especially to your larger point, number three through number like eight in the AFC is going to be very much a sliding scale. So it's just I think the AFC is incredibly interesting.
There's also a lot of bottom feeders in the AFC this year, and I think that's what makes it even more interesting. It's like the Bills and the Jets have already sold off this season. The Browns we know are not going to be any good. I think the Broncos are going to be no good this year. I have no idea what to expect from the Bengals or the Ravens, but I don't think either of them are going to be particularly good this year. I just named six teams in this AFC, which only has 16 teams. And I don't think any of them are competing for anything real. And, man, it's September. So I think there's only really 10 teams right now that you can look at in the AFC competing for six playoff spots. So it's going to be a really, really fun race. And from 3 through 10 in that range, I don't think there's a ton that separates all those teams. So it's going to come down to schedule and opportunity and coaching. And I think the coaching thing is where the Chiefs really come out on top because Andy Reid's spectacular.
Agreed. All right, give me a final score prediction for tonight. It's unfair, and it's small, and it's petty, but I've done it to everybody so far this week, and I'm keeping track.
No, you're good, man. I will go, let's see here. I'll go 30-20. I think the Patriots win it. So that, yeah, right above the 9.5-point line, I'll give it to the Patriots. I think they win, and I think they cover the spread. I think the Chiefs look okay, and we come out of this game thinking they're exactly what we expected them to be going into it. A 10-win team that's pretty good, but not on the par with the Patriots of the world.
I agree with you. Brandon Kiley is at BK Sports Talk on Twitter. You can hear him on 101 ESPN in St. Louis. Thank you for the time.
You're the best, Josh. Appreciate it, man.
Oh, I said I'm the best. Love talking to him. I would have said that even if he didn't say that I was the best. But that's sort of a symbiotic relationship there. He said, I think he's the best. No, Brandon, you're the best. Okay, I'm the best. Whenever we come back, final words on this Chiefs-Patriots game for tonight. You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Doesn't it seem like, Beards, doesn't it seem like we've heard more on politics from sports figures this year than maybe since, like, Muhammad Ali, since, like, the 60s?
Oh, definitely.
Are you eating right now?
With Joshua Briscoe.
Yeah, I've got some sweet tarts over here I'm munching on.
Glad you're stuffing your face back there while I'm over
you
here
want one?
Pontificating about deep thoughts and big things, big picture things. I do want some. Yes, save some for me later.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Whoa! Deep cut! Oh my goodness! Half of that liner doesn't even work in this state anymore. What the hell was that, Beards? I know you had the sweet tart thing. I didn't even let the music play today. I'm just like, what? I put my headphones on a little bit late. I was like, wait a second. Is that... what? Did you save me in sweet tarts, by the way?
I marked it, yeah.
No, that's not the question I just asked, damn it. As if you saved me any sweet tarts.
Oh, yeah, I've still got some over here.
All right,
save. Probably got about half.
Do save me a couple. I really would like some. Thanks, Brits.
I've got some purple ones. I've got some orange ones.
Orange
red.
Is good. I'll take orange and red.
I think, one blue one. I think all the greens are gone.
Blue, I'd love, if I could just get a blue one and a red one, I'd be pretty happy. I'm really over purple candy. I never really liked purple candy. I like actual grapes, but grape-flavored stuff is a sham.
It depends. It comes and goes.
No, it doesn't. Purple candy is the worst. I mean, it's always kind of candy. It's not, like, the worst on, like, a moral scale. All right, so I said this. I beat Ian Rappaport to this, but Beard said earlier that Malcolm Mitchell is out for the Patriots, out for the year, right? You said? So
on injured reserve.
Right. So Ian Rappaport says it sounds like Patriots wide receiver Philip Dorsett will be preparing to make his debut versus the Chiefs. I told you that earlier, but I want to say again that now other people are saying it. Also, special teams captain Matthew Slater has been limited by hamstring injury since the early part of training camp for the Patriots. He appears to be out tonight. Oh, God, this show went fast, and tomorrow is going to be crazy. Come back tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Whatever happens, the beginning of this show tomorrow is going to be a banger. I'll say that confidently. I think the Chiefs are going to lose tonight. I think it's going to be a fun game. I think I've given you all of the reasons and the ways that I think they can actually pull it off. I have my fingers crossed as much as I possibly can. I don't think it's going to be enough. That's my concern. It's not can it be good, not can it be fun, can it be enough? And I don't think we're going to see enough tonight. But I, like you, I'm sure, cannot wait to find out. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow at 4 o'clock, recapping everything that happens. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.